Michael washed at the pump outside the kitchen and changed back into his uniform. When he entered the kitchen again, the pigeon pie was rich and redolent of fresh truffles under its crumbly brown crust, and Santaine was filling and refilling her father's glass without a protest from him. She did the same for Anna, but with a lighter, more cunning hand, so that Anna did not seem to notice, though her face became redder and her laughter more raucous. Santaine placed Michael in charge of the His Master's Voice gramophone, her most prized possession, and made of it his duty to keep it fully wound up and change each of the wax discs as they ended. From the huge brass trumpet of the machine blared the recording of Toscanini conducting the La Scala Orchestra in Verdi's Aida, filling the kitchen with glorious sound. When Santaine brought his plate laden with pigeon pie to where he sat opposite the Comte, she touched the nape of Michael's neck, those dark silky curls, and she purred in his ear as she leaned over him.
I love Aida, don't you, Captain?
When the Comte questioned him closely on the production of his family estates, Michael found it difficult to concentrate on his replies. We were growing a great deal of black wattle, but my father and uncle are convinced that after the war, the motor car will completely supersede the horse, and therefore there will be a drastic reduction in the need for leather harness, and consequently the demand for wattle tanning.
What a great shame that the horse should have to give way to those noisy, stinky contraptions of the devil, the Comte sighed. But they are right, of course. The petrol engine is the future.
We are replanting with pines and Australian blue gums, pit props for the gold mines and raw material for paper.
Quite right.
Then, of course, we have the sugar plantations and the cattle ranches. My uncle believes that soon there will be ships fitted with cauldrons that will carry our beef to the world. The more the Comte listened, the more pleased he became.
A drink up, my boy, he urged Michael as an earnest of his approval. You have had hardly a drop. Is it not to your taste?
Excellent, truly. However, le foie, my liver. Michael clasped himself under the ribs, and the Comte made sounds of sympathy and concern. As a Frenchman, he understood that most of the ills and woes of the world could be attributed to the malfunctions of that organ.
Not serious, but please don't let my little indisposition prevent you.
Michael made a self-deprecating gesture, and obediently the Comte recharged his own glass. Having served the men, the two women brought their own plates to the table to join them. Santaine sat beside her father and spoke little. Her head turned between the two men as though in dutiful attention, and Michael felt a light pressure on his ankle, and with a leap of his nerves realized that she had reached out with her foot beneath the table. He shifted, guiltily, under the Comte's scrutiny, not daring to look across at Santaine. Instead, he made that nervous gesture of blowing on his fingertips, as though he had burned them on the stove, and he blinked his eyes rapidly. Santaine's foot withdrew as secretly as it had advanced, and Michael waited 2 or 3 minutes before reaching out with his own. Then he found her foot and took it between both of his. From the corner of his eye he saw her start, and a flush of dark blood spread up her throat to her cheeks and ears. He turned to stare at her, so enchanted that he could not pull his eyes away from her face until the Comte raised his voice.
Amenez!
The Comte repeated with mild asperity, and guiltily Michael jerked his feet back.
I am sorry, I did not hear.
The captain is not well, Santaine cut in quickly, and a little breathlessly. His burns are not healed, and he has worked too hard today.
We should not keep him unnecessarily, Anna agreed with alacrity. If he has finished his dinner...
Yes, yes, Santaine stood up. We must let him go home to rest.
The Comte looked truly distressed to be deprived of a drinking companion, until Santaine reassured him.
Don't disturb yourself, Papa. You sit here and finish up your wine.
Anna accompanied the couple out into the darkness of the kitchen yard, and stood close by, eagle-eyed and arms akimbo, while they said their shy goodbyes. She had taken just enough of the claret to dull the razor edge of her instincts, or she might have wondered why Santerne was so eager to see Michael on to his motorcycle. "May I call upon you again, Mademoiselle de Thierry?"
"If you wish, Captain."
Anna's heart, softened by wine, went out to them. It took an effort to harden her resolve.
"Goodbye, Mynheer," she said firmly. "This child will catch a chill. Come inside now, Santerne."